I was definitely nervous about the response of everyone who was purchasing, just making sure they actually liked it in person and things like that. So I was very happy whenever we get messages from customers about how much they love our clothes, or it changed their kid's day, or it helped with something. Like, it makes my whole day. I still love all those messages, and I'm very grateful everyone's willing to share their feedback.
Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. And today I have a fantastic guest. Her name is Julie. How are you today?
Good. This is so great. I'm so glad to be here.
Tell us about yourself and then we'll go from there.
Perfect. Yeah, so I majored in fashion design at Cornell, and then I began my independent study there with adaptive fashion and just really being interested in using design in a more impactful way than just everyday clothing or runways or anything like that. So after graduating in the pandemic, I started working in special education. And that's really where I started fully developing my designs and creating a company and a brand that made clothing specifically for kids with sensory needs and autism, but really they can be used in a lot of different circumstances and for any kid, but that's really where our focus is, and it's still what I'm doing full time.
So how did you say, okay, I need to start this business? And what was that process like?
Yeah, so really I first started realizing it was even a need, basically through parents and educators and children basically just telling me about the struggle they had with clothing and finding the right sensory tools to use and things like that. And it really just got me interested. But really, when I started working in special education and working hands-on with the kids and seeing the struggles firsthand and trying to find solutions in the classroom was really when I got inspired to do it and realized how needed a lot of our designs and a lot of a new adaptive clothing were. And yeah, it was definitely a leap to doing it. For a while, I was working in special education and developing the business and trying to run it, which was a really hard balance. So this is actually my first school year not going back to school as a teacher and just focusing full time on building the brand. And it feels like we're relaunching now that I actually have time to focus on it. I definitely miss the kids too.
Yes. What kind of issues were the kids having as far as sensory clothing and all that?
Yeah, I'd say definitely the top number one universal struggle was the tags in clothing and the feeling of them rubbing against them and against their necks. So that was always a struggle to try to cut them out, but it always leaves like the rough edge on it or cut a hole in the shirt. So that was the universal biggest struggle for sure.
Yeah, and the material that the clothes is made out of. And
yeah, anything that restricted too much movement would be like chucked off, which fair enough. And yeah, the feeling of the material against their skin is always a struggle. Yeah, and really a lot of our designs too, I tried to add in more sensory tools into them. So things like built-in fidgets or compression or sound reduction, some of those things that I saw as a big struggle for kids too, especially if they didn't like wearing headphones or didn't like wearing the weighted vest or like the compression vest on top of all their clothes. So it was also trying to figure out how to use fashion to solve some of these other issues that you wouldn't initially see as like a fashion or clothing issue.
So that is ingenious. How did you go about the process of inserting all these things into a sweatshirt, still making it look like a normal sweatshirt?
Yeah, it definitely took a lot of years. It was something I first thought of in college when I was doing this independent study, and it looked nothing like it does now and what we sell, but it was something I was just trying to figure out for a lot of years. But a lot of innovative things or adaptive features, the clothing market doesn't know about. So you have to go out of there for your research. So I talked to people at like industrial soundproofing companies. I actually ended up meeting a guy whose son was autistic. And so he answered my email and it got pushed up like higher in the company, but they were a company that soundproof buildings and ships. And he knows the industry though, so he really helped me come up with materials and design, and we went back and forth. But it was a lot of sourcing and researching outside of the fashion and autism community, trying to find niches of people to talk to that could give some insight.
So how long did it take to perfect this? Because I can't imagine it was a short process at all.
Yeah, so I started my independent study in 2019 and decided to turn it into a business in late 2020. So maybe like a year and a half later.
Which is an interesting time to start a business.
Yeah. I graduated in 2020. So there really weren't a lot of jobs, especially in fashion. It was all shut down. I was debating going to grad school or just pivoting industries or starting a business, and ended up choosing starting a business.
I started a business, I think, because we don't really make any money off this. And I'm still thinking about going to grad school.
It's definitely fair. I honestly think about it sometimes too. So
you put this out there. Did you expect the response that you got, or no? Or was it just like a complete shock?
Yeah, I honestly didn't know what to expect. I think in 2020, when I first started coming up with it as a concept, I early on had a TikTok go pretty viral, and it was such a positive response for what I was trying to create. We didn't even have a final product we were going to be producing yet, and I was still playing with all the adaptive features and designs. And so the positive response shocked me, but really excited me. It just shocked me that we reached people so soon. And when we finally launched in April of 2022 is when we finally had the product to sell. I was definitely nervous about the response of everyone who was purchasing, just making sure they actually liked it in person and things like that. So I was very happy whenever we get messages from customers about how much they love our clothes, or it changed their kid's day, or it helped with something. Like, it makes my whole day. I still love all those messages, and I'm very grateful everyone's willing to share their feedback.
Is there one that you're like, I love that one?
Yeah, actually, early on, a mom messaged me whose son really struggles with sound sensitivity, but was refusing to wear his headphones because of some bullying that was going on at school, and didn't want to wear them anymore, but then was struggling in the hallways and cafeteria. And at the time, our sound reducing hoodie came in our Constellation print that we still have available in our joggers. And she just sent me the most heartfelt message about it, saying that space was his special interest and he was so excited about it. And it like changed his whole day and his whole mindset about school. And it honestly just warmed my heart. And I was like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That is awesome. And why would they bully him for wearing headphones? Kids have headphones in school all the time now.
I know. Like, and it's actually pretty common of a message I get, or comment or something like that. My kid doesn't want to wear his headphones anymore because people stare at him, or especially like the weighted vests or anything like that on top of your clothes. And it really bothers me. Obviously, we made a product that's an alternative, but it still is ridiculous to me that people would even comment on it. They could just be listening to music too, is what confuses me.
I guess because with the kids, it's all AirPods now, those things that like go in your ear, they're the cool things. And they have ones that go over the ear too, but the kids don't want those.
It's still so upsetting that it's something you'd be bullied for, even if it's obviously something for sensory needs. It's still something I work strongly, especially when my time in the schools when I was teaching, and now still like through online advocacy and things like that, like uplifting other advocates' voices. That's another core part of what we do, is just wanting to be like, stop bullying people for wearing their headphones. Like, it's so crazy, and just like educating on sensory needs. And I think fashion creates an opportunity for that conversation. Like, why might someone need magnetic closures on their hoodie? And it's a chance to talk about differences and disabilities with children at a much younger age, and have it be like, oh, it's so cool. And now you get to love wearing a magnet hoodie because someone else might need it. And I think it offers that opportunity, and hopefully we can create some change that way. But yeah, all the messages about bullying or things like that are always so hard to read. It's so upsetting.
And it's so hard now because you have online too.
I can't imagine growing up with the online world that these
kids are with. I'm so grateful that the online world was just coming online, no pun intended, when I was in school. Book was out when I was in middle school. That was all we had, but smartphones weren't out widely either.
You had to do it on your family desktop, so you had less.
And then Instagram came out our junior year, and Snapchat came out our senior year. So we didn't have all of this with the kids growing up with now. And even though I'm on all of it, I'm so glad I didn't have that when I was in school because...
Oh my God, same.
Because my bullying experience was pretty non-existent. I mean, there was a little bit, but if I had what I had now, I feel so bad for the kids in wheelchairs and stuff going through school because... Now you can just do it online so nobody can see it. And it's crazy.
Crazy.
I've had people comment like weird stuff online to me on my YouTube channel. They'll comment stuff under the podcast. Okay. I try to respond to them as thoughtfully as I can. But the joke that they're trying to say to show them that it doesn't bother me. And usually now the they don't bother me again. If this gets bigger and I have millions of people doing that, or thousands even, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely negative comments. Like I'll even get like on our videos explaining our clothing or anything that like why we created certain things or there's certain features. And people are just nasty. They're just like, I would just tell my kid to suck it up. You're creating pansies or whatever. And you're like, could you just stop? Meeting
it's
people
a neurological is not a bad condition. Thing. No, it's a neurological condition.
Yeah, people don't get, they just like to be negative on the internet, I think sometimes. And
yeah.
As adults, it's a lot easier to delete and ignore, whatever. But I can't imagine being my middle school self dealing with it.
And the most horrible, well, not horrible, but the most brutal one that I got was, you know that character from South Park, Timmy?
Honestly, I've never watched South Park, which is embarrassing.
I've never watched it either, but I've seen clips of Timmy because it circulates within the disability community. And basically, he's in a wheelchair, and they put on him every disabled stereotype. They jump on the back of his wheelchair, the other characters. They call him retarded every episode. And this guy, so basically, every negative disability stereotype. And this guy put a meme on one of my TikToks with a clip from the podcast going, "Timmy," and I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. And I just laughed at it. So sure, it didn't bother me. And then he never bothered me again. But
hey, that's good. Yeah, TikTok, I feel like, has brutal commenters. I don't know. I'll follow like
I've
a bunch of
very good
bloggers
experiences with, maybe it was like YouTube or something. Anyway, it was like one of them. But
yeah, one of them. Neither are great. There are a lot of keyboard warriors out there for sure.
Yeah, so that was one of the most brutal things.
Yeah, that's not great.
What do you have coming up for the business? When can we expect more of these adult-sized things?
Yeah, so right now we have our sound-reducing sensory break hoodie in adult sizes, extra small to extra large. We're hoping next to do our sensory-friendly joggers in adult sizes, which will hopefully be coming in 2024. We'll probably be running a pre-sale on those to just gauge interest and help fund a bigger production run of them. So definitely
count me in.
Yeah, anyone who's interested, definitely do the pre-sale so we can gauge and know that it is something that people want. Sometimes it's hard to gauge based on just social media comments, like who would actually purchase. So the pre-sale is gonna really help me decide like where the interest lies with adult sizes. But yeah, we're excited to keep expanding it. I even get a lot of messages from parents whose 10-year-olds are already in a men's medium. So we're definitely expanding to try to encompass a lot more of like our target market and for any adults that want them. So hopefully throughout 2024, you'll see a lot of new things and new sizes.
That's crazy how fast these kids are going now. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a 5-year-old in one of my classes who was wearing like an 8-10 or like a 10-12 or
what?
Something. You're like, yeah, it was huge.
That's crazy.
Kids are really big these days. It's not all of them, but there's definitely like a good chunk of them. So I'm definitely not surprised anymore when I get messages that their 10 or 12 year old is in a men's small or medium and they need adult sizes. And I'm like, we have this one size, we're expanding. But yeah, it definitely doesn't surprise me anymore after the number of messages I've got.
Amazing. So what do you teach like kids in school as far as inclusivity and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I taught in a self-contained classroom. So we just had 3 and 4 year olds who are autistic in my classroom. So a lot of it, the work that I could do was really like talking to other staff and then interacting with the gen ed children, like on the playground, we would do a lot. I remember like talking to some of the kids about not, like our kids weren't babies. They were the same age as them or maybe 1 year younger. They just didn't speak. So a lot of them thought they were like their little siblings, and they're 4 and 5. So they would think they were little and would try to show them around the classroom or around the playground. And we would talk to them a lot about how they're the same age. They just can't speak yet. And they might not speak at all. And like some people talk with iPads. And I remember them thinking that's so cool. They were like, I have an iPad at home. And I was like, yeah, like some people, you can press the buttons and it'll speak for them. And they were like, whoa. And I was like, you just make it like a cool, fun thing, especially at that age. But yeah, it was a lot of making sure they weren't excluding our kids. Like even at that age, it was like some behavior you really had to step in on. But yeah, we were pretty vigilant and involved on the playground to try to help educate and bridge that gap.
Yeah, kids think everything is so cool. Yeah. That's why I love like when kids ask questions about my disability now. It used to be awkward, but I love it now because they think everything is so cool.
Yeah.
They think this is like my own personal car and think it's so amazing. And they're like,
that's a cool. Yeah, I feel like if you explain anything to kids in like an enthusiastic, cool way, they're just gonna be amazed. They're gonna be like, whoa. They just love new things, new cool things. And I feel like that's the best way to, at a young age, just spark more and curiosity rather than like avoidance around disabilities and differences. I feel like it was easy for a lot of kids, especially when I first started noticing, they would just avoid some of our kids because they just like, didn't know what they were doing or what was going on. And so they would just stay away. But rather than that, we would introduce them and explain things. And then they just thought it was cool and wanted to help show them around. And they'd come up and share, he said this word to me, or, oh, we were practicing writing our letters, or whatever it was. They would then share these cool things they were doing that they knew they were working on rather than avoiding them, which was cool.
That is so cool that the gen ed kids did that. So cool.
Yeah, especially there was one group of older boys who would come out. I think we only saw them once or twice a week where the playground time aligned, but they befriended like this little tiny 3-year-old in my class. And towards the end of the school year, he started like saying some words. And whenever he did, they'd come running up to me with him and they'd be like, you will not believe what he just said. They were so proud of him. They'd cheer him on. It was the cutest interactions.
That is so cool. Oh my gosh.
It was awesome. They give him little gifts. And so I'd tell mom, I'd be like, he has a baseball card because his second grade friends gave him one. Like it was just the sweetest. Like they were so excited for him and loved him, and that just that made my day every week.
Like that is so cool. We need more humans like that,
seriously.
So, yeah, that is so cool. Anything else that you would like to add before we get off here, and where can people go to get your products, which I will be posting on Instagram once I get the hoodie, and we will include them in the show notes.
So. Yes. So all of our adaptive and sensory clothing are all on our website, which is shopsensationalu.com. We're sensational with an extra E, so it's like sensational, a little play on words. And that's also our handle on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. It's just sensational_you. And yeah, all of our clothes are available online. I ship them out right pretty much within a day or two of when you place your order. And we have everything from just sensory friendly clothing that any children will love, or things with more adaptive features like we talked about, like compression or sound reduction in the hood, but definitely can be used for any kid also. I love flying with the sound reducing hoodie because it also has an eye mask, so you can just pull it down to like sleep on a plane. Great travel hoodie. So
yes.
I think it's great that a lot of them are very universal and anyone can wear them. So yeah, everything's available on our website. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook for any updates. You can also join our email list and be the first to know about those kind of new things coming, new sizes, new products to pre-order.
Yes, and I will join your email list to be the first to get the email about those joggers, because I am so excited. Anything else you would like to add before we get off?
I think that's it. It has been so great speaking with you about how we came about with our clothing brand and all things inclusivity. So this was awesome. Thanks for
having me. It's been so great having you. I love this episode. So thank you so much for being here. And we will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. Please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.